Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Felix Industries Limited Investor and Analyst Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sumit Desai from EY. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Robin. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Felix Industries Limited Investor and Analyst Call. On behalf of the company, I would like to express our gratitude to each of you joining today to discuss the performance of the company and to answer your questions. We have with us today Mr. Ritesh Patel, the Managing Director and Founder, Mr. Nishant Sharma, the Finance Director, and Mrs. Hina Shah, the Company Secretary and Compliance Officer. Before we begin, I would like to draw your attention to the fact that today's discussion may contain forward-looking statements that are subject to various risks, uncertainties, and other factors which will be beyond management's control. We kindly request that you bear in mind that there may be uncertainties when interpreting such statements. Please note that this meeting is being recorded. We will now start the session with opening remarks from the management. Afterwards, we will open the floor for an interactive Q&A session. I would now like to invite Mr. Ritesh Patel to make his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sumit. I'm myself Ritesh Patel from Felix. A very good evening, everyone. It is a pleasure to welcome you all as we share the performance and key developments at Felix Industries Limited. Felix began in 2010 as an eco-tech startup with a clear mission to address environmental challenges through science, sustainability, and innovation. Over the years, we have transformed into a leading force in environmental conservation, advancing sustainable practices through cutting-edge technology, and a strong commitment to a zero-waste philosophy. Today, we operate as a diversified, multi-segment environmental engineering company offering comprehensive solutions across the environmental sector, like solid waste management, oil reclamations, waste water treatment, and its processing. Felix Industries specializes in advanced environmental technologies with a strong focus on a sustainable water, wastewater reclamation, oil processing, and all its integrated environmental impacts. The company prioritizes hydrocarbon recycling, transforming waste oil and oily sludge from industrial and oil and gas sectors into high-quality lubricants, base oil, and fuels through sophisticated refining and pyrolysis processes. These technologies help conserve resources, reduce hazardous waste, and enable circular economic principles by converting used oil into reusable products while minimizing environmental impact. Felix's oil processing plants have a capacity of 100 tons per day, supported by robust infrastructure in India and Oman, handling the entire life cycle from collection to its refining. Our expertise also extends to effluent and wastewater management for oil industry operations, providing effluent treatment plants, zero liquid discharge systems, and effluent recycling that reduces pollution and safely repurpose water. While water purification and reclamation remains important aspect of Felix's portfolio, their core strength lies in integrated environmental conservation technology that combine advanced oil recycling, hazardous waste treatment, and innovative waste-to-energy solutions. This approach contributes significantly to reducing waste footprints in promoting sustainable resource reuse and meeting stringent environmental compliances, especially in the oil and gas sectors. In summary, Felix Industries offers cutting-edge technologies embedded with environmental conservation, balancing efficient oil waste management with essential water treatment, reclamations, and solutions for sustainable industrial ecosystem. Our operations span state-of-art facilities in Gujarat and Oman, covering a consolidated area of 34,260 square meters of production area, supported by workforce of nearly 485 employees across the company and its subsidiaries. We execute projects across EPC, BOT, BWT, DBO, O&M, and PPP, and direct supply models, and cater to key sectors including pharmaceuticals, textiles, oil and gas, specialty chemicals, food, dairy, and power. Turning to our performance for quarter two and H1 for year 2026, I am pleased to report strong momentum in quarter two for year 2026. Consolidated revenue from operations stood at ₹1,738 lakhs, up 117% year-on-year. EBITDA rose sharply to ₹886 lakhs and a 591% increase, while PAT reached ₹532.8 lakhs, up 1,605% for H1 for year 2026. Consolidated revenue grew to ₹3,800 lakhs, EBITDA to ₹1,463.8 lakhs, and PAT to ₹889.6 lakhs, a significant increase year-on-year. This strong growth reflects robust demand across the segment we serve and disciplined operational execution. Our subsidiaries, Felix WMC, Innovation Eco Process, Rivita Solutions, and Felix Industries LLC, and our associate company, Ecovision Eco Care, along with Felix Industries Limited, which is our principal company, continue to work seamlessly to drive collective progress. We are executing multiple ongoing and upcoming projects across chemical manufacturers, pharma SEZ clusters, dairy, ice cream producers, specialty chemical units, and general CPG facilities. To name a few, key projects include a 3,500 KLD energy plant at pharma SEZ, a 1,000 KLD system for a dairy producer, 1,050 KLD WIP unit for leading oil and gas company, and an upcoming 4,000 KLD multi-sectorial mixed effluent energy plant, CETP. Looking ahead, we are expanding into new areas and sectors such as plastic recycling and sustainable metal recovery, while also scaling capacity into waste-to-energy. Under Felix Industries LLC, we are developing a 175 kW unit into waste-to-energy segment. With efficient execution and steadily expanding order book, we are well-positioned to deliver higher revenues, stronger margins, and a sustainable growth in coming quarters. Thank you for joining us. We can now start with question and answer session. Sumit, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Zohaib Rashid from Swinlist. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir, and congratulations on a great set of numbers. I wanted to know, firstly, as we haven't got any new order this quarter, can we still able to achieve the guided revenue of between 110-130 crore?
Yes, because we are already executing certain size of orders which are already placed in the company. So all these order books or every execution needs some time. So as our planning continues for this year, I think that we can easily achieve the target that we have.
Okay, okay. Because to achieve that.
This point, this is Nishant here. I'll add to this point. The numbers that we had given as a projection, we are in line with that. See, there are a lot of projects which are under execution stage, and the work is currently going on. So their effective numbers will start reflecting from this quarter and the coming quarter onward. So our revenue guidance is in line, and our performance is in line with the revenue guidance that we gave. So we are tracking those numbers, and we are confident that we'll touch the 110-120 crore mark by the end of this financial year.
Okay, okay. Fair enough. Another question I had to ask, what was the reason behind the improvement in the margin this quarter, and what is the margin we can expect is sustainable going forward?
So see, generally, our margins are in the range of, like, EBITDA, you can expect anywhere between 25%-30%, and the PAT remains anywhere between 17%-20%. That is, and on an average, that has been our consistent performance. This quarter has been good because we executed one good order where the margins were good. So that was the reason there is a higher profitability. But then these are all variable factors. We execute a number of projects, which are some projects may be very large in volume, so then the profitability is somewhere lower there on those sides, and then we also get O&M projects along with that. So the profitability is balanced based on the size of the project. So, and since we are not offering any off-the-shelf kind of products, the margins vary. But this has generally been our trend. So net margins between 15%-20% and EBITDA around 25%-30%. And this is
Okay.
going to continue for the current financial year as well.
Okay, fair enough. And sir, when are we expecting the phase two of Oman to commence?
So phase two is something which we will take up, not at this moment, maybe in the next year, because we are now growing the revenues for the Oman facility, and that is showing improvement month on month. So that is where once we start getting good numbers from there, then we will plan for the second phase of Oman.
Okay, thank you. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Taher Hyderabadwala from Globis Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on the good set of numbers. Sir, I wanted to understand the capacity figures that were mentioned in the annual reports. There were two line items called waste oil restoration and oil processing plants. So what is the difference between both them?
Can you just repeat the question?
Can you hear me?
The voice is quite blurred.
Hello?
Please tell me.
Can you hear me? Sir, I wanted to ask regarding, there were two line items mentioned in the capacity table in the annual report, which is waste oil restoration capacity and oil processing plant capacity. So what is the difference between both of them? I wanted to understand that.
So waste, there are multiple kinds of streams of oils that our plant can handle. So one is the waste oil stream. That is all the wastage of all the lubricating machinery, maybe engine oils or maybe ship oils. And one is the crude oil which can be restored. So I think that is your question. And these are the two bifurcated solutions of our oils. So, you know, when we are processing the crude oil, waste crude oil, it will give us a product in the range of all the furnace oils. And when we are processing the waste oil from the engines, it will give us the products from all the base oil categories.
Okay. And sir, one more question on the capacity. When we mention the capacity, so what does the capacity mean in this business? Like, where we can create that much capacity of plant for the for our customer, or what does that mean? I wanted to understand that part also.
So for oil, you are asking?
No, for oil capacity in general.
So I'll add here. I will add here. See, capacity, I forgot your name, but the capacity is, when we say in case of oil, it is about oil processing. But when we say the capacity for water treatment, it is based on the client need. So if we are developing a common effluent treatment plant, we go by the needs of the client, like what would be the needs of the industry that we will be serving. So that would determine the capacity of the plant. So the capacity varies on plant to plant basis. It cannot be a generalized kind of that we have this much capacity.
Okay, sir. And sir, one on the business model front, we have different types of model to operate, like EPC, operate and maintenance, BOOT, etc. So what is our revenue contribution between these, and what are the margins profile in this?
So generally, see, there are two segments which you correctly mentioned. One is the EPC, and one is the operation and maintenance. Okay, so operation and maintenance still contributes almost, as of now, we can say 40% of the turnover till the current numbers that we have, 35%-40%, and the balance comes from the EPC. So what our strategy has been to acquire clients through either through an EPC model, where we outright sell them the entire plant, and then we take on the operation and maintenance. And in case of a BOOT model, we are investing in that plant and then running them as well. So as of now, the overall revenue share is in such a manner. In this particular year, we are executing larger value EPC plants. So this year, the contribution of EPC projects would be higher as compared to the O&M projects that we are doing.
Okay, sir. And what are the margin profile, if you have that number also, in different kind of models?
It is blended. It is what I earlier told. It is in the same range, like net margin 70-20. So these are blended margins. But see, it all depends upon the capacity that we have, the client that we have, the kind of toxicity of water that we are treating, and the manpower that would be required, the technology that is. So every plant has its own typical profitability structure. So the blended margins always come in this range only, which I told earlier.
Okay, sir. And one last question, sir. When we see on FY25, your PAT is around 9 crore, but from that, almost 60-65% is coming from other income. Like, other income is around 6 crore. So what is this other income for? And it, like, is going to repeat, or is it one time?
No, that was one time. But this year, if you see, the other income figure is very nominal.
Yes, one year.
So this year, it is, yes. So it is very nominal, and that was a one-time kind of a thing. But now this is a regular, I mean, the other income is significantly lower now.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. And one last question, sir. On the competitors' profile, while comparing your numbers with your competitors like FWA, Wartek, Wabag, you have almost higher margins than any other player in this industry. So any reason behind that? Like, when we see Wartek, Wabag is a larger player compared to anyone in the industry. He got a GPM of around 22%, and your GPM are around 70%. And his EBITDA is 13%, your EBITDA is 22%. So anything on that front?
Can I,
Ritesh bhai, answer that? Yes.
Okay. So if we see the other companies, see, no company is bad or good or something like that. But our specialization falls in a process development where the standardized processes or technologies are not defined in the market. So other, what generally other or the other companies does, if they have a set of skill set of the processes of technology, and those have been implemented. Where in our case, we customize each process, or we moderate each process. So there are whatever the client is, if you see, these water or these oils are quite technically challenging for the normal vendor to take control over it. So that is why we enjoy the technology part over the revenue.
Okay. And if you can say
Sorry to interrupt, Sahil, we request
one last question.
Rejoin the queue.
Okay, sir. Okay, no problem. Thank you for the opportunity once again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Jaisal Shah from NVS Brokerage Private Limited. Please go ahead. Jaisal Shah, your line has been unmuted. You may proceed with your question. As we are not receiving a response from the current participant, we will move to the next participant. Our next questioner is Pinkesh Jain from Shree Stock Vision Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes, yeah. Hello, Ritesh Bhai.
Yes, Pinkesh. Tell me.
So, first of all, like, what is the current order book?
So it is the same pattern that we are talking. The orders are long lasted orders, so that is how we are predicting our quarter four numbers.
Okay, so it's similar to the March levels.
Yes.
Okay, and so Ritesh bhai, like you explained us the difference between BOT and EPC. So, like, for example, so if we receive a 25 crore BOT project, so how much capex is required and how much we have to invest and what is our payback period? If you can just elaborate on that.
Nishan sir, if you can. On the other
okay. Side. So, see the project, like if we receive a first of all, the determination of the size or the cost of the project depends upon the technologies that are being involved, okay? And now, if we say that we are taking a 25 crore project, so that will involve everything, right? If we take it on a BOT model, then we are investing money into that. But it doesn't go, the entire investment doesn't come from us. Then we also ask the client to put in some money. So it can be anywhere between 20 to 30% is invested by the client in, also, so that they remain blocked in the project and they remain invested with us, and there is a commitment from the client. And once that is that, those kind of conditions are fulfilled, then our investment starts, and the payback period is generally three to four years. And it comes along with any BOT project that we do has to be compulsorily coming along with an O&M project, O&M service also. So in that also, we make a good margin there. So that is the project, it's an EPC project itself carries a margin, and then the O&M that we do after the completion of the project, that also carries a good margin on that. So yes, the payback period is anywhere between 3 to 4 years. Which is my
hello?
Yes, go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, Nishant bhai, how do we basically finance these projects? I mean, customer advances or bank guarantees and all those stuff?
So we currently have a combination of equity and debt. From banks, so it is currently being managed in this fashion only, and going forward maybe we still have capacity to raise debt. So in future also, if we need, we have good bank lines available and our conduct is good, so maybe we'll be able to manage it from bank finance. So it's a combination of both equity, debt and internal accruals.
And you think that the capital is not a constraint for us to bid for more and more BOT project, correct?
Means yes, as of now we don't see any constraint for the order book that we currently have. We do not see any capital constraint as of now, or the bank or debt constraint. We already have planned everything, so we don't see anything, any shortage of funds till the end of this financial year for the project that we have undertaken.
So, Nishan bhai, let me put it other way. So, like for every 100 crore of addition in turnover, okay, approximately like what is the capex required from our side?
No, so it doesn't, you see, it depends upon the kind of project that we do. Suppose this year, if we are moving from, like last year we did consolidated 42, now this year we are expecting to close at 120, but out of that, around 60-70 crores would be EPC projects, so the capital requirement would be less. So it depends upon the kind of projects that we undertake. It's not necessary that every project we take is on BOOT only, or it has been a principal decision that we will do projects only on BOOT or we will do only on EPC. It all depends upon the discussion, the kind of opportunity that we see with the client. So it's a calculated call by the promoter and the technical team as to which direction we should take. And all BOOT projects are fundamentally, one thing is clear, the counterparty has to be strong enough to so that we can take a risk on that party for the amount that we are investing. Okay, so BOOT projects are only undertaken for very, very reputed or strong and financially very strong companies. Other than that, it is like we did one project this year around 7.5 crores. It was a small company. So we straightforward said that we will do only on EPC. We don't do BOOT for them. The proposals come from people because they hear it from the market, but we decide as to which direction we want to go.
Okay, okay, got it. So in a nutshell, you want to say that this EPC, while it doesn't have a lot of capital investment and has higher margins, BOOT will obviously require more capital, but it has also a long tail of O&M revenue. So depending upon the counterparty and what comes to the table is how you choose the project.
Yes, yes. It what kind of contract, what kind of counterparty, what is the strength of that party? And then what is it that we are implementing and the period of the contract. If we have 10-year contract, it is very lucrative in terms of O&M that we do. So that is how we determine. But it is always a very detailed technical as well as a financially due diligence based exercise done by the entire team.
Okay. And so this year
we request you to please rejoin the queue if you have further questions.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Advita Kumar from AV Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good evening. Am I audible?
Yes.
Great. Thank you for taking my question, sir. I have a few questions. I wanted to understand, the orders and the ongoing plans shown in the deck are, quite impressive. But can you give a light on how Felix as a whole plans to expand in the coming years? Not specifically a revenue guidance, I'm asking, but let's say what segments and the regions will, lead to the growth ahead?
So I'll tell you, whatever we have planned till now, this is where we have almost identify all the industries that we are currently working on and we plan to work. This is like Felix is water treatment. Okay, Felix LLC Oman is oil related and waste management. Then we have Rivita, which is more on the ONGC and government orders kind of activity. Then we have Ecovision Aquacare, which is going to be a infrastructure facility. Again, it is related to water and its treatment. So, but it is more, would be more on the direction of creating infrastructure like this effluent treatment plants, which is we are currently developing. And same way, what in the deck we have mentioned is plastic recycling and mineral extraction. So everything is surrounded. These are the total industries that we have identified. As of now, the plan is to continue with them only and expand these line of activities. So all these activities will determine the future growth of Felix Group as a whole. And we are taking baby steps in every company that we are working on. So gradually you are seeing the numbers as well in the current financial year. Every company is contributing slowly and steadily to the growth of the group as a whole.
Right. Makes sense. And when it comes to these orders, what is the process of getting these as in each segment? Do we go to the market or is there a bidding process or the clients are approaching us? How is it?
It is more of word of mouth publicity that has happened over a period of time. And see, there are a lot of tenders that come in the market. We do those bidding and all those things also. But it is generally based on, and most of the time it so happens that many clients are expanding their capacity. So that also leads to additional orders. Then through word of mouth publicity, we get additional clients. So it's a replication of different ways, but we are not very aggressively into marketing. We do branding and everything, but we don't have people like going out in the market and doing sales and all that kind of stuff. We are focusing more on developing technical capability and technical strength of the company rather than because the product it will speak for itself, and that is how the orders are getting generated. So we don't intend to go that direction of doing some kind of a selling. And if you understand, each order is 5 crore, 10 crore, 15 crore, 20 crore orders. Okay. So these kind of orders generally do not convert to a sales pitch or kind of a thing. These generally go by references from the existing industries like peer-to-peer, promoter-to-promoter. These kind of references flow more. So that is how we are growing.
Okay. All right, sir. Understood. And thank you for answering my question, sir. I'll join back in the queue if I get any. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Pawan Kaul from KAPM. Please go ahead.
Hi. I want to understand in terms of our business's working capital cycle, how long is the working capital cycle? Because I think last time you had mentioned that the inventory and debtor cycle was a little elongated and you were working on reducing that. So could you just talk about what is the normalized working capital cycle of this business?
So it depends on, again, there are, as we mentioned, there are two models. One is EPC and one is BOOT. So depends on the model in which we are, a particular project is there. But in case of EPC, it is like 10% of the order value comes as advance. And then once you reach a particular stage, so in EPC, generally the cycle would be turned around. In the entire cycle will move in 6 to 7 months kind of a period, when you from procure to direct getting all the payments done, 7-8 months would be gone in that process. So that is generally, and even in case of an EPC order, some 10-15% is always left in terms of like performance, or the once the project is implemented, commissioned, the testing result. So that some portion is always remains pending, but it comes after 8-9 months, that also comes through. In case of BOOT projects, it's our investment, and once the plant gets commissioned, BOOT projects generally have what you say a shorter span, where we can collect the money or the invoicing that we do within 45-60 days. Sometimes it may take some more time depending on the liquidity of the counterparty, but generally it has to be around that. And then we do also need to maintain certain inventories. So inventories are on a higher side, because we need to, since we are doing operation and maintenance project, any shutdown of a plant leads to production losses for any company, and it is something of a very hot situation for us to handle. So we need to maintain inventories of consumables, motors, parts, spares and everything. So there the inventory levels go up, and that's part of the process that I mean, it's a calculated kind of a thing that we do, because when these plants shut down because of any problems in the water treatment from our side, we have to be on our toes running around 24 hours to get that started, and that's where sometimes the inventory levels are higher.
Okay. So just to follow up on that, so on the 110-130 crores that we are aiming for this year, what would be the proportion of BOOT projects and EPC projects?
So BOOT would be boot would be less this year. EPC would be somewhere around what we can say. Just give me a second. So we EPC would be somewhere around 60-70 crores. That would be roughly the number this year.
Okay, so then that means we'll have a peak working capital requirement for this year because we have a higher proportion of EPC projects as well, which hopefully by next year that should come down because your boot projects will pick up.
Yes.
And what would be the return on capital employed for both these business models?
So generally what we try to achieve is around 18 to 20% is the ROC that we expect to achieve on the investment or the capital that is employed. So this is generally what is what we take into consideration while arriving at any project cost or the profitability numbers.
For both of them? Or is it like,
yes.
Or would EPC be lower than boot?
No, see the pricing for any of the boot or EPC project is very dynamic. Means to put it on a particular measure is sometimes very difficult and challenging because for every project there are different kinds of dynamics in terms of the parts or the capital involved. Sometimes the counterparty pays you more advance, so that in that case we have to lower the project cost and all those things. So it depends upon the kind of negotiations that happen with the client. So, but generally it is, we try to achieve that kind of profit, and that is the reason why we have been able to maintain our EBITDA at 25-30% and net margins around 17-20%. So that's how we are trying to manage it.
Understood. And just last follow-up, what are the EBITDA margins for the two segments?
Ritesh, if you can tell me on like boot, what is the generally?
Generally, 20% what we calculate. On EPC, about 15-20%, again, with a lot of dynamics. But yes, EPC attracts lower EBITDA and the O&M attracts the higher EBITDA. Simple difference in the development.
Sir, sorry to interrupt, but your line is not very clear at the moment.
So what he is trying to say is boot involves capital investment and our investment of time and everything. So in that case, obviously, our margins are on a higher side as compared to the EPC projects.
So this is 15, I heard 15-17% on EPC, and boot was how much?
20-25%.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Abhishek Agarwal from GemsQuest Asset Managers LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Thank you for taking my question. Congratulations on great set of numbers. Sir, I just have a couple of questions. One being, sir, how is the order inflow bandwidth now since, I guess, when we last spoke, we were out of bandwidth for taking, you know, new orders for EPC and the kind. But now since we have executed some of the orders and, you know, looking forward to FY27, how do we see the situation and are we now bidding for new projects and, you know, taking orders?
Abhishek, it has never been challenging to, you know, get into a new sector or a new audience. But yes, precisely to give your answers, I see 27 to be a better as 26. And of course, 26 is better than 25. So, as far as the order books or commitments are concerned, we are seeing work, but yes, our team will be starting or maybe they will be in January or February.
So I'll tell you, Abhishekji, I think his voice was cutting.
Yes.
So, FY, this current year, we, as you rightly mentioned, we are already booked with orders and we are in the stage of executing those orders. But the next year also we expect to receive orders, but the next year the change would be is our O&M numbers would grow significantly because of the project that we are executing currently. So that would again give a very strong boost to the O&M number. So we would be close to touching the FY26 numbers through the or 60-70% of the FY26 numbers through just the O&M numbers. Okay, and then simultaneously we will be bidding on different projects or we will be getting different orders. So our expectation is 200 crores, but I don't want to give that kind of guidance at this point in time. But this is what our expectation is, that we will touch FY27 anywhere around 180 to 200 crores.
Sure.
Because the projects that are getting executed in this current year will start generating O&M revenue from April, May next year. So there are two, three major significant projects which are going to generate. Maybe some timeline here and there, because these projects sometimes get delayed because of the client. But here and there, 2-3 months, we will start getting a lot of higher O&M revenue.
Yeah, sure. That helps. Second question on the plastic recycling and, you know, the metal recovery part of the business that we're trying to get into. I believe we already have a subsidiary or a business that is into e-waste recycling, but I guess we were not very focused on that part of the business. So why are we now trying to get into, you know, plastic recycling or metal recovery part of the business, since it is, it has a lot of players already unlisted, listed, and you know, what is the rationale behind getting into this business, and how do we see growth opportunities in this segment?
Okay, can I answer? Okay, so I will bifurcate your question basically into two parts. So first part will be the metal part. So there are n number of process units to recover these metals, but we have certain specialization and we have certain expertise as part of technology, so we can take care of all the hazardous waste into consideration to recover all our metals. And whatever metals we will make, we will be complying to 99.999% purity. That means like the purity which has been generated right from ore. Now this is what I'm talking from from waste. So like these companies are very few in the country. Very few means you can just count it on your fingertips. I two or three in the market. Like it will be a portfolio for Felix to clear up these regs.
Sir, sorry to interrupt. We are losing your audio in between at the moment.
I speak it of
yes. So, see what you rightly mentioned was that we are not going into that e-waste recycling. Okay, we are going for metal recovery and those kind of from the waste or the hazardous waste generated through various acids and all those forms. So we have developed some technology on that front, and that's where we are planning to use that technology and generate these kind of pure metals like 99.9 grade copper and zinc. That is, those are the two metals that we are looking for as of now. And we see an opportunity there where we have identified certain people who are ready to work with us, and there is a technology with us where we can make that work for us. Same way on the plastic waste cycling, there are already 2-3 units that are in operation in Surat, Baroda, and one in Ahmedabad. So we are not going directly as a new player in the market. We are acquiring those entities, and we have already produced as a test batch in those facilities certain virgin plastic materials which can be used by different industries from the waste, like our milk pouches. So like the Amul milk pouches that we receive, from those we will convert them into plastic granules, and that are again near to virgin quality kind of material. And it helps. First, in there is a margin there in terms of recycling, and with this recycling process being done by us, there are certain entitlements from the government as well. So that also brings in profitability to the in addition to your operational revenue, these entitlements from the government also add to your profitability. So that is a calculated move that we have made, and it's not something where we are already we are setting up something new. There is already an existing facility which we are planning to take up soon.
Thank you.
Yes.
Our next question is from the line of Hiral Nandu from Kalpavruksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Are you audible? Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, and congratulations for the good set of numbers. A couple of questions. Just wanted to understand further on this plastic and metal recycling part of the business. When we look to generate the revenue, commercial revenue, operations start, and what revenue or segment or what top line we expect from this particular business, and what margins we expect from this? But not related to this, maybe another one. So maybe I want to understand first on this.
So from the plastic and this mineral metal recovery, the process is still ongoing. So revenue generation from plastic will definitely happen in this financial year. From the metal part of it, we don't see anything happening before even the plant setup and everything will go up to the end of next financial year, or something prior to that. So it may not be something before financial year 27-28. Okay. So that is the timeline where we are thinking where we will start for this metal recovery. For the plastic, definitely we have done some trial productions and everything. We have our people there in place. So now how to take that forward? We are working on those lines and what numbers can be achieved out of it. But you can reasonably expect anywhere between 3 to 5 crores of revenue per month from those, because it's a fast processing. It doesn't take so much time and it's a fast moving production item. So, and anywhere between 5 to 10% would be the kind of margin that we can expect. And in addition to that, we can have some, I don't remember the exact name, this entitlement. Government gives some name to that particular
incentive. EPR.
Yes.
Okay.
So EPR. Yes. So that from
you are saying plastic could start from...
These two projects are not factored into the current year numbers for FY26. Maybe some 5-7 crores may come from plastic in this year, but I'm not sure about it. But next year onwards, definitely we can expect numbers on plastic in the next year.
And in that 200 crore or whatever odd we were expecting, whether this number were also included or they are over and above that?
No. That is something of a, because the 200 crore is, we think of Felix Industries, India and Oman and Rivita, and these would be able to achieve that. And plastic would go beyond that, but we don't want to give any, at least as of now, any guidance unless we do a full-fledged production on that side.
Great. Understood. Just second question. Just wanted to understand how we are accounting the forfeiture of the warrants which happened this last quarter. So how we are accounting the revenue from that or the one-time income
That has
from
been
that?
credited to, I think, the capital reserve. Means it has been credited to capital reserve.
Sorry, is it an income part this quarter or
No, it's not reflected in your P&L. It's a direct credit in the, it's an adjustment to the balance sheet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It is not as an income, it is taken as a capital. So.
Yeah.
Yes. It's directly adjustment on the balance sheet.
Okay. Got it. Thank you, and all the best.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Soheb Rashid from Swinglist. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question again. I just wanted to know, sir, can you spend 2 minutes on what is Avaicin, which we have mentioned in the presentation? Is it under it we are, you know, selling a water solution product as a product we are selling, and how does it align with our core operation of EPC and providing water solutions?
No, I didn't get you. What YSL? I missed out on that.
I talking about Avaicin.
Avaicin. Yeah.
Avaicin. Okay.
Okay.
Ritesh, if you can.
Yeah. So it is a bit of a commodity which is developed by Phoenix. So it will be used, of course, the domestic segment, the country, or I mean the usage will be by the family owners or the household people. And this entire process is for heating or heat or processing the water as core strength of Phoenix, and that will be competitive in the market from Phoenix.
Okay, so that was barely audible. Okay. And sir, in the order book slide, where we have mentioned, you know, recent trends of a steel sector company, it says EPC plus OEM, and the order size is approximately 1.43 crore. And so it says 2 to 3 months contract. So is it 2 to 3 for just for EPC, or is it plus OEM? And 1.43, the order size, is it including OEM and or is it excluding OEM?
Just a minute. Let me check this order.
Oh.
Just a minute. 1.432. This is 75 KLD, zero liquid discharge.
Yeah.
This is my steel sector. Which company, which is ordering?
EPC contract. This EPC contract is already in the and now.
Pardon me, sir. We are not getting good audio from your line, sir. Very sorry, sir. We are not getting good audio on your line.
Nishant.
So this is an order from a steel company here. So it is basically an EPC contract, and O&M once the installation is come, but this is purely the 1.43 is the EPC order value.
Okay. And it is the above orders or that is BOO, that is all for just for the boat, right? And these contracts, they will be having O&M as well going forward, right?
Yes. So these, like, BOO, yes, 2.2 crore, 1.87. So these are all contracts from oil and gas. These are related to this Rivita. These are orders where we would be doing, these are revenues from operation and maintenance only. These 2.2 and 1.9 and 1.87.
Okay, so we won't be getting operation and maintenance in this one.
So now.
No,
these are operation 3 years contract.
Yeah, these are 3 years contract, and already in the presentation, in the latest presentation, I added you, I mean, I've added the pictures these plants are at place. One of them is operating and two of them are getting operating this month.
Okay, okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ritesh Patel for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We will be interacting very soon. I make with everybody. Thank you for joining us, and I hope we have been clear in expressing what all questions or doubts you had. I am grateful to have you here. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Felix Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.